This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Welcome to the podcast from JNS Pediatrics for August 31st, 2012. I'm Natalie Pinsham. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are vascular disorders, hydrocephalus, and oncology. High flow bypass and tandem microsurgical endovascular occlusion of recurrent proximal middle cerebral artery aneurysms in a pediatric patient. A case report by Adib Abla and colleagues. This case illustrates the importance of continued follow-up after aneurysm treatment in young patients and the benefit of combined endovascular and microsurgical techniques in the treatment of complex and unusual cases of proximal middle cerebral artery aneurysmal disease. A 7-year-old boy with headaches was found to have multiple intracranial aneurysms from the terminus region of the right ICA through the proximal right MCA. Initially, the patient underwent clip reconstruction of the M1 segment. Multiple microsurgical and endovascular treatments were required for the largest of these aneurysms, which recurred several times over the next 1.5 years. The first recurrence was treated with stent coiling and the second by microsurgical occlusion of the MCA, combined with common carotid artery to MCA bypass with radial artery graft. The aneurysm again recurred and was treated by proximal coil occlusion 15 months after the first treatment session. At the 7.5-year follow-up examination, the aneurysms remain occluded and the patient remains neurologically intact at age 15. Infiltrative brainstem and cerebellar neurocytoma. A case report by Faiz Ahmad and co-authors. This manuscript highlights the case of a neurocytoma in a 15-year-old girl that was unique because of its presentation as an infiltrating lesion of the brainstem and cerebellum with spread along the CSF pathways to the lateral and third ventricles. Despite massive hydrocephalus and impressive imaging findings, the patient was only minimally symptomatic. She underwent endoscopic third ventriculostomy to treat the associated hydrocephalus and biopsy of intraventricular tumor nodules. Because of the low-grade pathological diagnosis, the fact that the lesion was not amenable to resection and the extensive radiation field required for radiotherapy, she has been treated conservatively with close follow-up. Over the course of almost 4 years since diagnosis, no additional treatment has been required. Neurocytoma with widespread infiltration of the brainstem and cerebellum has not been previously reported. Reduced ventricular shunt rate in very preterm infants with severe intraventricular hemorrhage. An institutional experience. A clinical article by Nima Allen and co-workers. Infants who are born extremely preterm are at risk for complications of prematurity, including intraventricular hemorrhage and symptomatic hydrocephalus. Permanent ventriculoperitoneal shunt insertion is problematic because these children are prone to shunt malfunction throughout their lives. Survival for these infants has markedly improved over the past few decades, but it remains unknown whether other complications have changed. The authors examined recent trends in the incidence of intraventricular hemorrhage, symptomatic hydrocephalus, and the need for surgical treatment of hydrocephalus. They were also curious to determine how the trends of these neurosurgical problems compared with the trends observed for other complications of prematurity. This study is unique because it examines the relevant long-term neurosurgical outcomes for the entire cohort of infants who were born extremely preterm, and is not limited to only those who required neurosurgical intervention. The authors found that there was a marked decline in the number of infants who were born between 2004 and 2008 who required a temporary or permanent ventriculoperitoneal shunt, compared with those who were born between 1997 and 2001. A similar decrease was observed in the proportion of infants with sepsis and bronchopulmonary dysplasia, suggesting that the ventricular shunt rate may correlate with improvement in neonatal care. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes to access all our podcasts and videos, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. Thank you.